gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world gone mad. She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. And we're here. Sorry about the little delay there. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 3rd of May, and it's a Tuesday. And a lot of new stuff going on. Got some new developments. Pretty interesting. We'll get to that here just shortly. I'm still waiting. I told you I'd have word for you today about the class in Washington, and I lied because I have not gotten an answer yet. So we'll keep you updated on that. Hopefully we'll have that for you tomorrow. The class is going to happen. It's just that we may have to change our venue a little bit. So stand by here. We have... Okay. All right. Let's move along. Mighty interesting development here just not too long ago, just a few hours ago. Apparently, Ted Cruz has dropped out. How about that, huh? I wouldn't have expected that. I would have thought he would. He lost Indiana, and like Trump said, you know, if you lose Indiana, you're done. And he took it serious. I guess he saw that instead of going on struggling and wasting any more money, he just said, "No, I guess so. So I'm out of here." And he just packed his bags and headed for the house. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, it's still quite a while till November, and I don't know if these developments here has assured us that Hillary would win, or if it has assured us that Trump would win. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I'm on pins and needles, I'll tell you the truth. I am dying to see what this year brings. It's either going to bring some changes or it's going to bring a war, which, believe it or not, would be also a change. But yeah, Charlie Brown, I think you're right. Don't save up for retirement. That is a fact. So, Yakima Glock, maybe. We're thinking about moving it to Marble, buddy. We'll see. We'll see how I'll here in the next day or so. Once I get a little more information, we may take it up to Marble. Excuse me. All right, because what we didn't do when we planned this, we didn't take into account that Marble Days or whatever it is going to be going on at the same time. So we'll see. And I have to agree with Peanut Rider. I agree in theory that Trump could have a Bobby Kennedy moment there, that he may be Vince Fostered. But that's going to be, no matter how it happens, that's going to be very difficult for people to believe that it was anything other than a murder. So I have thought this over and thought it over and thought it over. Pondered and pondered. And I didn't think Cruz was bad. I don't know that he's legally eligible to run, which if he's not, he should not be allowed to. From all outward appearances here, it seems that he is not. But I have to wonder, of course, if anything they say is true about Obama, he wasn't either. And they let him win. Hillary's a felon. They're letting her run. Bernie's an idiot. They're letting him run. So Cruz had a good grasp of the Constitution. Was he perfect? No, I don't think so. Not by a fair stretch. But definitely better than anything we've had for a long, long time. Is Trump perfect? Is he the perfect constitutionalist? No, I don't think so. No. Is he better than Obama? Well, I'm relatively sure that no matter what he does, it will not be as bad as Obama. I just can't see that happening. He has got up there and got to where he's at by telling people exactly what they wanted to hear. Of course, that's how most presidents do it. Most elected officials, period. But I for one, am willing to give him a shot. I would like to see someone in there that is not a politician. I'd like to see someone in there that cannot be bought. Now, while there's a lot of things about Trump that are not perfect, he cannot be bought. He doesn't need anything that anybody has. After all this time, boys and girls, they haven't dug up a damn thing on him. Anything. He's clean as a whistle, and don't you think they ain't been trying? So to have somebody there that has no background that anybody's interested in, they can't find anything bad on him, there's no dirt. He can't be bought. He has, he seems to be, well, I can't really say that because everybody does it. He's saying what people want to hear, and he's been sticking with it pretty good. He's done a couple things in his past that I don't agree with. But who hasn't? You know, everybody gets on the internet and they get on these chat rooms and Facebook and everywhere else, and they go completely bat crap crazy because somebody did something in their youth that they didn't approve of. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and not too many people know this about me. But I did a few things in my youth. Probably shouldn't have either. So we'll see. Interesting stuff. Well, let's see. Let's move on here. We have a bill coming up here. Congressman out of New Hampshire. Republican, quite normally. Naturally. You know, a lot of people are saying they're going to drop it. They're dropping the, they said, that does it. That does it. I'm dropping the GOP, going independent. And I believe I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, but the fact that everybody is dropping out of the GOP is, what I think, what's wrong with it. And if Trump does anything that he says he's going to do, anything, I think we have a chance of bringing it around and getting it back on track. And I think it's worth a shot. If it doesn't work, if Trump winds up being a typical politician, lying, scumbag piece of garbage, then we're not going to be any worse off than we are right now. But I am tired. Oh, so tired of politicians. And I'm willing to give somebody else a chance. Anyway, this bill in New Hampshire. This is in, I don't think it'll fly, but it might. We're making headway in so many different areas here as far as gun rights go. I'm looking at this picture here at Gun Show, and the first thing they do is pick up 1911 and get the finger on the trigger. Got another one over here that's got another gun on it in his hand, finger on the trigger. Anyway, this bill is going to, goodness, allow you to purchase guns everywhere. The, let's see, let me check this out here. Yep, on May 4th, tomorrow, at 10 o'clock, I'm going to assume that this is Eastern Time, this Congressman, Frank Ginta, something like that, is going to hold a press conference to discuss a bill he sponsored that will allow the sale of all firearms across state lines. A rather bold constitutional move there. Because New Hampshire is the only state in the Northeast without sales tax, this bill, it's H.R. 4928, the Firearms Transfer Improvement Act, would benefit our many licensed dealers. Just as people to New Hampshire, just as people travel to New Hampshire to purchase appliances, electronics, furniture, and jewelry, they'll be able to purchase firearms free from sales tax. Yeah, I think I'll just jump in a car and run to New Hampshire and save $30 on sales tax. Congressman's bill would benefit New Hampshire's entire economy. And it would. I mean, I'm just making fun here, but yeah, it certainly would. This also benefits New Hampshire's residents. If a person is on vacation and decides they would like to purchase a firearm, they may do so without the inconvenience and added cost of having their new firearm shipped to a dealer in New Hampshire. They can leave the store with it immediately. That would be awesome. How amazing would that be? In this age of computers, along with the mandated instant check, there is no reason why anyone should be forbidden from purchasing firearms from any dealer, anywhere, anytime. So, it's H.R. 4928. Something I think we should certainly support if we have the option, the opportunity. All right, let me, hang on a second. Got so many things going on here. There's some interesting new stuff here. Remember that Mark McConnell that was in the rear car behind Lavoie in Ammon? And he started out with his first deal, his first monologue after the shooting, and pretty much everything that he said in there was a lie. And he come back there, he was caught in it, and he come back later and apologized for it because he got caught. And now he's coming out with some more stuff. Some stuff against Anthony and Michelle Fiore, who are two of the most diehard, dedicated patriots I've ever known in my life. And it just keeps getting bigger. I've also got a guy that's going to send me some emails. Matter of fact, they're waiting in my inbox right now with some conversations with this individual. And I'm going to put those together. And we'll put that out on the show here before too long. And I'll see. I want to make sure that I can verify what's said there. I wouldn't want to. I'm not going to do it just because this guy said that. But anyway, long slide. What are you talking about? Shooting road signs. I'm not sure where that came from. Out of the clear blue sky there. You'll have to. Oh, okay, I see. You're going back to when I said I probably did things in my youth that, you know, I never did. I threw a lot of beer bottles at road signs, but I don't remember ever shooting one. The only sign that I remember shooting in my life was on railroad track. It was right outside or right practically in Devers, Texas. And we used to go out, and back then, you know, 22 shells were, you know, $4 for 500 or whatever it was, $4.95 or something for 500 rounds. And I went out and had a brand new nylon 66. And good Lord, you would have no earthly idea. You wouldn't believe me if I tried to explain to you how many rounds I put through that gun. It was astonishing, the amount of ammunition I run through that gun. What a dependable little gun that was. I mistreated it. I didn't care for it at all. I won't say I didn't care. I did care for it. I loved it, but I didn't provide care for it. All I did was shoot it. I loaded it and shoot it. As a matter of fact, I built some speed loaders for it. I took some 3/8 nipples, 12-inch nipples, and put screw caps on them. And one of them I tightened down with a wrench. The other one I painted red and only put it finger tight. Now, that would hold, I think, 14 or 15 or whatever. I think it provided a full magazine for the nylon 66. I stuttered there because I think I see my sheriff coming in here. I would like to introduce you to Graham Harbold. Graham, I don't think he minds telling me his name on the air because he's trying to run for sheriff here. Graham Harbold, as I've told you the other night, is before I start throwing that term constitutional sheriff around, let me rephrase that just a little bit. Graham Harbold is a sheriff that has a very good grasp on the Constitution. He's read it. He's studied it. He understands it. He supports it. He's fought for it. He is how many times he said the oath? Three times pledged an oath to the Constitution. I think three times, but we'll let him weigh in on that a little bit. But I'm relatively sure that that's who Sheriff H is. If I'm wrong, then everything I've said about Sheriff H still stands. About Graham Harbold still stands, because he's an awesome individual. And unfortunately, I don't live in the same county that he does anymore. But I will be supporting him as much as I can, because we need to start somewhere and get more constitutional sheriffs in there. We do have a few, very few. We've got the sheriff in Wisconsin, what's his name, Clark, and the one in can't think of the county. John Day, Oregon, anyway, up in that area. The one that Lavoie was on his way to see. I can't think of his name right now. I have such a hard time with name. It ticks me off so bad I can't stand it sometimes. But anyway, it is what it is. I guess that's what happened when you got if you've poured as many, run as strained as many, filtered as many beers through a brain as I have. Well, I guess that's just one of those things. All right, let's get on over here. We got another story we want to do before break time here. Another story with a happy ending. I love it when a plan comes together. This is a gal in Sultan, Washington. Yakima Glock, you might already know about this story. And long sliding, you might too. 80-year-old woman took the drastic action to save her husband during a home invasion. Police said she shot the intruder, but not before he managed to stab her elderly husband. Husband's 75 years old and a lot of pain. He's listed in serious condition. But if the woman hadn't grabbed her shotgun, was it a shotgun? Let's see here. Said it could have been a very bad situation. It could have been three homicides over there instead of one intruder biting the dust. Said the 75-year-old husband watched the stranger break into the house through the back door and then hit him on the head before stabbing him. That's when his 80-year-old wife grabbed a gun and killed him. Said his neighbor told him the suspect had been rifling through the medicine cabinet searching for drugs, but when police said she watched him attack her husband, but when police said she watched him attack her husband with a knife, she then pulled a gun and shot him. She said, "I didn't think a second about it. I mean, it was just automatic." She emptied the gun. All right, there you go. You know, and I got to say, I always have something to say. As much as I'd like to say, well, this is a wonderful thing. How awesome that the 80-year-old woman had a gun, was able to get to it, and take care of this. What a wonderful thing. I love happy endings. But I want to know why the 75-year-old man didn't have his gun. I know I pee in their post-toasties every time something like this comes up. But how come the man didn't take care of this? Now, I don't know the circumstances. He may have been a double amputee, as far as I know, and doesn't even have the means to use a gun. So if that's the case, then obviously that's not going to work. But if, barring any physical challenges or anything, then I have to wonder, and not just this story, but hundreds of them that we go through, why does your 80-year-old wife have to protect you? I'm glad she did. Thank God she was there and able to do it. Absolutely. I agree. I couldn't agree more. But it seems that it could have been turned out a little differently. I'm stuttering here because I'm trying to keep up with too many things at one time. I'm going to have to get together. Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back and try this again. We'll be right back.
barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane round on Saturday, right before the morning light. Game time, I was old enough and I learned to find a gun. And every night in summertime, I answer to what I've done. Loose today, but forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sailed my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me.
All right, we're back. I got a couple of unrelated stories here from a little different than what we normally do. Carolyn, glad you made it in. It looks like she figured out her problem there. Sometimes it's different for, you know, people have different settings on their computer, and sometimes it's a little difficult to get in, and then you get in and you can't hear it, or you can hear it and can't type, or whatever. It's kind of a learning process, I guess, and it all has to do with settings on your computer. But if anybody that wants to do this on their phone, it's easy to do. Hang on one second. Let me look at my phone. I think I remembered what it is, but I don't want to lead you astray. So it is XIIA Live. I'll put that in the chat room there. And that's an app that you can get from the app store there, and you can listen live on your phone. Of course, there's podcasts, and you can go to tsb.podbean.com, or you can just go to iTunes and type in the Shooting Bench, and you can find it there. We have a whole lot more listeners on podcasts than we do live. I don't know. There's a lot of people listen to it live. They stream it. I know there's well, I won't even get into that, what I know. But I know there's a lot of people that listen to it live, a lot more than what's here in the chat room. Let me put this in the chat room for you. And if you want to listen while you're out on the road or something, then there you go. There you go. That anonymous. Matter of fact, I know who that anonymous is. Beat me to it. All right, we've got two stories here, and I'm going to go through this first. Remember last night we played that sound clip about that millennial, about that drop-dead gorgeous blonde I told you about that was had figured out that she that her generation was not all that in a bag of chips, that they had not contributed anything, and that's why that people in my generation don't have a lot of use for most of them. Well, she's figured it out. What a great rant that was that she did. I'm going to record that. We're going to play it every once in a while. Well, just the opposite of that, diametrically opposed to what we'd heard last night. Back in the, you know, we talked about it a few times, some great heroes, some great soldiers and sailors would lie about their age to put themselves in harm's way for their country and the Constitution. There's a few nowadays that would do that. Graham Harbold would do that. And, but back then, it was a race to see who could get in there. This guy, some of you may know the story. His name's Jacqueline Harold Lucas. Jack Lucas. Born in 1928, died in 2008. He was a Marine to begin with, then he reenlisted in the Army and got up to the rank of captain. He was awarded at the age of 17 years old the Medal of Honor for heroism above and beyond the call of duty while serving in the Marine Corps as a PFC during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. Now listen to what this guy did and lived to tell about it. During a close firefight in two trenches between Lucas and three Marines with 11 Japanese soldiers, Lucas saved the lives of the three Marines from two enemy hand grenades that were thrown into and lying in their trench by unhesitatingly placing himself on one grenade while in the next instant pulling the other grenade under him. Unbelievable. The grenade he covered with his body exploded and wounded him only, and the other grenade did not explode. Thank God for that. He is the youngest Marine and the youngest serviceman in World War II to be awarded the United States' highest military decoration for valor. He was 14 years old, 5'8", weighed 180 pounds. I'd say he was probably put together pretty good from the sounds of it. He enlisted in the Marine Corps at the age of 14 years old in Norfolk, Virginia, without his mother's consent. Gave his age as 17, forged his mother's name, and was sent to the Marine Corps recruit in Paris Island, depot in Paris Island, South Carolina. During his rifle qualification, qualified as a sharpshooter. I'm not going to read the whole story. It's a big, long deal here, but I thought that was, after what we read last night, I think this was pretty amazing. And there was a lot of them, and it seems like, you know, there was a few out of Vietnam. There was a great many of them out of World War I and World War II. Hey, Aaron Z's with us. Good to see you in there, buddy. It's been a while since you've been with us. Glad you made it. No. But there was one guy, and you guys can look it up, and I don't remember who it is. Maybe I'll look it up and we'll talk about it one night. But there was at least one guy that I know of, we talked about him before, got in when he was 13 years old. There was lots of them, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, lied about their age to get in and put their lives on the line for their country, for the Constitution. I don't know, Aaron. Maybe. There may be more than I think, but if there was three, it'd probably be more than I think, but I don't know if it's quite that bad. But there are still some people out there that do it. You know, I've talked about Arden Bundy on here. Arden Bundy is, because of his family's strife, his family's problems, and all of the males Bundys being in jail except for him. He just turned 18 years old, and I don't mind mentioning his name on the air because he's quite the little celebrity. If you read some of the or listen to a couple of things he's done on YouTube, he is cut absolutely out of the same cloth as Ammon and Cliven. If given the opportunity, if he would have had the chance if the opportunity would have arose when he was 15, 16 years old or whatever, I don't think he would hesitate for a second to do just what this young man did. For those of you, if you ever get the opportunity to shake Arden Bundy's hand, he is quite the young man. He's about to leave here for too long on a mission for his church, and I wish him luck on that. I've had the opportunity to go and spend some time with him out at Finnicum's Ranch. Matter of fact, if you go look at the video that I did on, I don't even remember the name of it now. I'll have to go and see if I can look it up for you. But it was the one that I did about the branding and all that, the kind of the little history video that I did of how everything, God Must Be a Cowboy at Heart was the name of it. Yeah, I put that up there about 3 weeks ago. And he was the guy with the cowboy hat on the horse in there, and he is quite the damn ranch hand, I want to tell you what. He's got it together. He knows just exactly what he's doing up there. Will they arrest him? I don't know. I don't believe that they will. I think they'd be pushing their luck. America's sitting on a powder keg right now, and they're going to do something. They're going to arrest somebody, or they're going to kill somebody, or they're going to pass another law. They're going to do something's going to happen in the not too distant future, I'm afraid. And things are going to come apart at the seams. And arresting Arden Bundy might be one of those things. Of course, maybe that's what they want. Maybe that'd be the fastest way. Maybe they're thinking that they're going to get things the way they want it, just the way we think we're going to get things the way we want it if something happens. But whoever's right is irrelevant, because whatever it is not going to be good. It is damn sure not going to be good. Somebody help Sheriff H there. He's got the app on his phone where I think we're under, let me bring it up on my phone. I think we're under talk, pretty sure. Let me hit on this here. And let me see, let me hit talk. Yeah, it just comes up on mine, so I don't know if it's, I don't remember how I got to it. Maybe one of you that's got it on your phone, maybe you can help Sheriff H get on there. I don't remember how I programmed that and got it in there. But just look for the shooting bench and type in, there you go, Anonymous put it in there, type in Survival Circle. And you should, I don't remember if it's Survival Circle or The Survival Circle. Let me look and see here. It is It's The Survival Circle, it looks like. I don't know. Let me
Somebody help.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Survival Circle. All right, let's move right along. I got another little story I want to talk about here. And there's actually one more thing. We might run just a little long tonight because there's something else I want to do. But someone put on Facebook the other day about Arizona being the most corrupt state. And I got to looking into that because I hate putting things out there that I can't prove, or that, you know, get something to back it up. So I went and looked it up, and actually, Arizona is not even in the top 10. I'm sorry, Doc. I know You're not going to like this, but maybe you already know, but Mississippi is numero uno, number one most corrupt state in the country. Researchers study more than 25,000 convictions of public officials for violation of federal corruption laws between 1976 and 2008, as well as patterns in state spending to develop a corruption index that estimates the most and least corrupt states in the union. Based on this, the most corrupt states are, you ready? We're going to write this down. Arizona's not on the list, remember? Thank you. Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, number three, Illinois. Imagine my surprise. I thought Illinois would have been up closer to Mississippi. Pennsylvania, Alabama, Alaska, that's a little surprising to me. I'm not sure why. It just kind of surprises me. South Dakota, Kentucky, and Florida. It's now for what we hear on the news and everything all the time, it's not terribly surprising to me, some of these states here. But they said they'd studied the most and the least corrupt. But evidently, they have decided not to post the least corrupt. Anyway, I thought, here, wait a minute. Of course, it's not all bad news. The study also found the least corrupt states. Here we go. Oregon? Well, that was before 2016. Oregon, they doesn't include Harney County. Washington, I think Yakima Glock and Anthony Bosworth might disagree with that. Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Vermont, Utah, New Hampshire, Colorado, and Kansas. Obviously, they took this before, the date on this story is 2014. Obviously, that was before the stuff happened. They got their results here before all that stuff happened in Colorado and Washington and Oregon and all that. So I guess those folks there can take some solace in the fact that they're not getting ripped off quite as badly as the rest of us are. So, we'll just leave that right there, and you guys can do with it whatever you want. So, most of you, wow, my chat room's running away from me here. Let me get caught up. Let me see what's going on, see if there's anything I need to address here. Every time I'm scrolling down through here, I have to find something to say, or we wind up with dead air. Let's see here. All right, looks like Sheriff H. made it on there. Unfortunately, I guess he didn't hear all the glowing compliments that I gave him earlier here when he was on there, but we'll get a chance again, I'm sure. All right, let's move on. I got one more thing. You know, most of you, I think, are familiar with Chris Ann Hall. You have at least heard of her, have some idea of what she does, who she is, and all of that. Chris Ann Hall is an astonishing constitutional scholar. That's all she does, day in, day out, day after day after day, week after week, month after month. All she does is travel around and teach the Constitution. She has several different seminars that she does. She has some awesome books out there. One of the best as far as the Second Amendment and gun rights go is called In Defense of Liberty. And she's got another one on sovereign, I don't know the name exactly, sovereign states, something like that. But In Defense of Liberty was a great, great book. But there are some things you probably didn't know about Chris Ann Hall that I'm going to share with you. She is in the first place, she's cute as she can be. She's about 5 foot nothing tall. And her and her husband met. They were both Russian linguists in the military. And that's how they met, is through that program. She's disabled. And I'm not sure what the disability is. You can't, it's not outwardly noticeable. But here's the surprising part. And I've heard her say this in person. When I was pulling security for her here a couple of months ago, I got to listen to her, three of her classes there. So here's some things that you don't know about Chris Ann Hall. That's very interesting. She said, and I'm reading this here in her words. She said she wanted to make sure that that there's no full disclosure, there's no deception or dishonesty. She said right up front, there's some things I want to tell you about myself. She said, I was not born a constitutionalist. I did not live my life with an inherent understanding of liberty and what is necessary to defend it. I was not raised a Christian. For some, these things will be a stumbling block, so you need to know from me. I was raised a Democrat. The only thing more evil than Satan was a Republican in my home. There was no choices to be made in voting. Straight Democrat party line was the only choice. I was an environmentalist, an ardent environmentalist. Some of my best friends were members of Greenpeace, and I supported the WWF and PETA. I was a vegetarian by ideology, not for health reasons, for almost 15 years. I believed in the good, quote-unquote, good, of scientific manipulation of food and the necessity of vaccines. Not only believed this, but helped create them when I was a biochemist for Monsanto. I believed in global warming and defended it vigorously. I believed in the Big Bang and openly criticized those who believed in creationism as ignorant and misled. I believed government's duty and purpose was to be a provider for the people. I supported programs that would give the government more control over the people. I even believed one world government was the best way to go to ensure global peace. I supported the principles of socialism, although I cannot claim to have known at the time that it was socialism per se that I supported. I supported abortion and often openly condemned others for being pro-life. I have argued with abortion protesters on street corners and called them names that I am not proud of. I was not only not a Christian, but I practiced many other religions, including many occult versions. I was bitter against God and felt that only ignorant, weak people needed faith. I was too intelligent and too educated for such a feeble crutch. I was not born with the knowledge that I have now. I did not wake up one morning with a divine epiphany. I traveled a long road, learned some hard and painful lessons. My beliefs were challenged, and I came to know the truth. I am able to stand firm on what I believe because I have discovered the difference between truth and lies. I am able to defend the truth because I walk the path. I can show you my path of discovery and be guaranteed it is not tied to any political motivation or personal gain, unless you call the liberation that comes from knowing the truth in the face of lies a personal gain. So when someone says to you, did you know that person used to be associated with this or that group or used to believe this? How can you possibly believe him now? Remember this story. It is good to question someone's transformation. You should do that. If they cannot show you that path, step by step, you should question their motivations. But do not discount someone's current position just because of who they used to be, or who they used to associate with, or what they used to believe. Sometimes it is not a selfish or deceptive motivation, but a path of enlightenment we all had to wake up somehow. Just so you know where I stand. Now, there's quite a bit more to that story. It's very interesting. One of the things is that her father would never, they vehemently disagreed with each other after Chris Ann saw the light and then moved in and just started eating up everything she could find about liberty and the Constitution. And her father just did not get along. But I guess that she sent books and stuff to him, and evidently he wasn't terribly polite and courteous and respectful to her when he received these things. But I believe from the last time I talked to her, I believe that he is in the process of seeing the light after all this time. Now, I wish she probably, in the interest of brevity in this deal that I'm reading here, I'm going to look around. Maybe she'll type this up for me, and we'll do the whole story. It's a really, really interesting, captivating story to hear the whole thing and the relationship between her and her father. But I'll tell you that if you ever get the opportunity to go and talk, to listen to and talk to her, she's very outgoing, and when she gets done, she goes and signs books, and she talks as much as she can. But she is passionate. She gets up there and she talks for 2 hours, whichever one of these classes that she does, and never looks at a note, never anything. Now, it's a PowerPoint presentation, but it's for your benefit, not hers. She really, really knows this stuff inside and out, up and down, forward and backward, inside and out. There's not a question that you can ask her that has to do with the Constitution or liberty or gun rights or anything along those lines that she can't give you an indisputable answer for. And it's fun to have people to be standing there and listening to her talk to people when they try to trap her with something that they feel like is they're the only ones that has this knowledge. And she just eats them up. She just kind of knocks them down, mops the floor with them a little bit, and then just watch them slither out the back door there. She's something else. If you get the opportunity, she's got lots of YouTube videos out there. She's got a radio show she does, I believe, every day. And I'm sorry I don't have the links for that, but it's sure not hard to find. You can just type in Chris Ann Hall. It is KRISANNE. All one word for her first name. The A is capitalized, but it doesn't matter if you put it in a search engine. Chris Ann Hall. Anonymous 6449, Chris Ann. Let me type this in here for those of you that are in the chat room anyway. There you go. If you start listening to her YouTube video, you can't get up. If you are liberty-minded at all, if you have any remote appreciation for the Constitution, if you even have a little bit of a desire, even just a little curiosity, if you listen to Chris Ann Hall for 5 minutes, probably more like 2 minutes, you'll be caught. And you can't do anything but benefit from it. You'll learn and you'll appreciate it. You'll enjoy it while you're doing it. And you'll go after more. She has, I don't know how many, she has oodles and gobs of videos out there on YouTube. Okay, well, I've had all the fun I can stand. I'll be back tomorrow night. Amy will not be on tomorrow. Okay, Carolyn, I'm sorry I didn't get the number memorized there, but I'm glad you made it in here with us tonight anyway. Amy's not on Wednesdays. I will be here, and we'll both be here Thursday. I doubt very seriously that there will be a new Liberty Lounge. I may pre-record one, but
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be tied up hook, line, and sinker Friday night. So I may not be able to make it. And I apologize again for that. I hate to, there's one time that I hate to miss. Hey, there's Eddie Crump. He made it in there tonight. If there's one thing that I hate missing, it's Friday nights. That's our, Sheriff H and Carolyn, for those of you guys, you're not in here very often, or first time actually, not only very often, but never up until now. Friday nights is our classic country music night. It's the night that we let our hair down and unwind and just spend the time polishing belt buckles and sliding around on sawdust covered hardwood floors. And we just kind of have some fun and put all the rest of this stuff behind us on Friday night. So that's what we do. Starts at the same time, but Friday night is a 2-hour show instead of a 1-hour show. So being said, this is a 1-hour show, I guess I better get out of here because it's been 1 hour. Good night. Been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio. Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Spend some time in San Francisco. And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Sticker!